producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We invite the trickster on the show when we get involved in these discussions. Joshua Cutchins joining us today. Please check our other radio show, After the Paracast. To hear it, you got to be a member of the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have low rates for monthly, annual, 5-year, and even lifetime subscriptions. We give free e-books for a year or more. More features coming, plus.theparacast.com. Just an offhand question, Joshua.
Yes.
So we have, for example, Sasquatch and UFOs and fairies and all that. Are we just seeing different aspects of the same thing?
Well, what I've become fond of saying is that I am extremely interested in where the Venn diagrams touch. And I don't know if that means that we're seeing a multifaceted aspect of one thing, or if we are simply seeing the way that different phenomena use similar methods. You know, I do think that regardless of what the true objective answer is, if there is one at all, I think that we need to see more pan-paranormal thought go into these subjects. Not only that, but I also think that we really need to hone down and focus on the minutia because, again, something else I'm fond of saying, we're missing the trees for the forest. We're so busy trying to find the giant answer that we're not looking at these other things that might actually lead us in a direction that might actually give us some more insight.
Very good point, and I couldn't agree more. Sometimes, as they say, the answer of the devil is in the details, and I think in this particular realm, I absolutely agree. Obviously, we're not doing something correctly because we haven't really made much headway. So I absolutely agree with that. Here's a very interesting question from Ravensfee, who posted a question at the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. You know, this is something that I've always kind of been intrigued by, and that is European folktales often have plots that turn on food events. For example, Goldilocks and Porridge, Hansel and Gretel and the House Built of Gingerbread, Snow White's Apple, or even Genesis in the Bible. To what extent do these fictional stories lay down templates for people who report contact with otherworldly beings? And also, have you looked to see how, if at all, this body of work fits with your theories regarding the connections between the sattvic diet and offered food and other conclusions drawn? Good question.
Yeah, let me take a minute to unpack that. You know, it's interesting. In older times, in the times when fairy tales really saw their genesis, pardon the pun, food really was a huge part of life because you didn't know where it was going to be coming from next. And a lot of times it would be contractually given. There are, you know, certain hospitality rites in Europe that would involve the giving of bread and salt as well. So it's certainly reasonable that fairy tales would reflect those particular cultural motifs. There was one variation of the Snow White story where she actually she is lost in the forest and she needs a meal and she finds the dwarves and she agrees to sleep with one of them if they give her food. So I think all of the...
you're not going to see that one on Disney.
No, you're not. I think that in a lot of these stories, with the exception of that Snow White story that I gave you, I mean, just talking about Goldilocks and Hansel and Gretel and Snow White, I think that a lot of it, really it's about stranger danger. It's about, making sure that you, know from where this food comes from and to not be so accepting of hospitality, to sort of be aware. It's interesting that Hansel and Gretel came up. Because it was an ancient Slav tradition where they would actually figuratively put a child into an oven to bake the child. They wouldn't really bake the child, but it would be a symbolic liminal transformation into boyhood. You know, symbolically it's the womb and it's also being, you know, the child being transformed by the fire. And that's paralleled in the Hansel and Gretel story. Yeah, exactly. What's interesting to me is that if you look at the wave of humanoid reports that came out after the fall of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Union, a lot of these Soviet reports include bread. And I'm thinking about the idea of the rebirth from the Soviet Union back into Russia and possibly how that might be a cultural manifestation of that. Not necessarily saying that everybody who saw entities in that, you know, 89-90 period was tapping into some sort of collective unconsciousness, maybe, but even if not, maybe there was an objective other intelligence that was using that cultural language to impart a special meaning upon those encounters.
How about mind-altering substances? Do we have any stories or traditions that involve, let's say, some like Amanita mushrooms or morning glory seeds or natural hallucinogens that occur in nature that may somehow end up being featured in a story? I can't think of any from the Western literature. I do think there are some from the equatorial zones.
You're speaking specifically to fairy tales or to modern accounts? Or?
Well, both. In other words, mind-altering food substances or liquids, this type of thing.
Well, I mean, if you could argue that Snow White eating an apple and being put in the state of suspended animation was an altered state of consciousness, I guess you could say that.
I think that would rate.
But, you know, in terms of actually something along the lines of the psychedelic experience, not really in fairy tales. It does occur to a certain degree in, you know, modern accounts. I think of Orfeo Angelucci as being a great example. Some people having thought that he was actually slipped a tab of LSD into his drink or something, or being altered similarly. But, yeah, the rest of my thoughts on altered states and food can be found between pages 1 and 259 of my book. You know, it's the sort of thing where I don't think you can take a step back and be a little bit more serious about it. In almost every one of these creation myths about these entheogens and whatnot, it's almost always bestowed unto the people by a god. So in some sense, this is, besides Joe Simonton, the only other type of non-terrestrial foodstuffs that we can, you know, actually study. And I think it's important to look at it through that lens. And of course, they all have their certain creation myths. The altered state thing is a huge part of this book and what I'm looking at, because there are lots of similarities there.
You could almost say, like you just mentioned, that every one of these events could be considered some sort of altered state, because oftentimes there is a quality to the experience that is absolutely foreign and unfamiliar to the experiencer. The air is different. The light is different. Everything seems to be different in many, many of these accounts.
I was just going to say, you know, and people have these same sort of food offering experiences. Graham Hancock had these experiences where an entity offered him food. I spoke with a guy who goes to Cusco on a relatively regular basis for ayahuasca sessions, and he actually saw a stairway fall into the ground, and he was Irish, so he said that he described as a leprechaun came up and said, "Hey, how about you come have a drink with us?" And he says he was about to reach the door when his shaman bolts out of the hut and just is, you know, he didn't speak Quechua or whatever the particular shaman was speaking, but the shaman was freaking out and started dragging him back as soon as that happened.
Come back from that one.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because going back to Genesis, you see the food of knowledge, you know, possibly a mushroom, and not necessarily an apple. A lot of people don't realize that. It could, in some traditions, it's a pomegranate. In some traditions, yes, it is a mushroom. Being, you know, that being brought to someone's attention by a serpent. And what is the governing goddess of ayahuasca usually depicted as? A serpent. It's kind of frustrating writing about these topics, because you want to have footnotes on your footnotes. You know, it's just this web. It's just this web that you end up, this web of causation that you end up spinning, and suddenly you're tangled in it.
Yeah, what were some of the major source material that you leaned on? The Evans Weiss book, I would imagine, that's almost a Bible, I think, a bridge between the kind of the ancient with the modern, because of the time period in which many of the stories come from the late 1700s all the way through the early 1900s.
No, that's absolutely indispensable. You're right. You know, it came from a lot of different sources. I really wrestled with myself because I think of the Paracast as being right now as almost being my doctoral defense right now, because and you engineer, the heads of the committee, and the people who posted questions are my committee as well.
You know what? We've been called a lot of things in 10 years.
I like that one.
Oh, I'm going to write that down and patent it. We have more to come with Joshua Cushion and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese, featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Doctoral defense. Which is better than being on the fence.
That bad, really? I mean, are we really asking that tough of questions?
Oh, no, but you guys are not ashamed to hold people's feet to the fire, which needs to happen more often, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But we're having fun. Tastes good.
Oh, yeah.
I just had a breakfast burrito that I think was delivered from the gods or some sort of fairy folk. It had a weird taste to it. I don't think I'm ever going to go to Sonic again.
Watch out for Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah.
Or Sonic's Revenge, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I made the mistake. I went to a fast food place. Oh, somebody hit me. Oh, here's another one. Again, we're going to turn the tables on the motif here. But this is one that I constantly am reminding people when we talk about the unexplained livestock death phenomenon and the role of blood. And I always mention the transmogrification of the blood into wine into blood and the bread into the body of Christ in the Christian mass or the Catholic mass. This is another question from Ravensfee. The Catholic Mass has it at its heart a food and drink offering, which the faithful believe is a literal consumption of the body and blood of Christ. Can we draw parallels between this belief and the reports you've studied? And do we, for example, see more food offerings in Catholic countries or amongst those of the Catholic faith?
Absolutely. And I wrote that down. I'm going to return right to it. I just don't want anybody to think that I'm dodging the last question about sources. So I'm going to get that right out right quick. Okay. So, yeah, I tried my best. I wrestled with it for a while as to what to include and what not to include. But where I sort of arrived at was when the trends that I noticed started to become predictive, I started to worry about that less in terms of the veracity of every report. I feel like I share enough DNA with Greg Bishop that I kind of am less worried about the veracity of every single report
rather than
aggregate in general. Having said that, yes, Evans Wentz was a great resource. Catherine Briggs has done a lot of great fairy folk research that was very germinal to this. Obviously, the work of Jacques Vallée. But a great underutilized resource that I don't think people pay enough attention to is Albert Rosales's humanoid catalog.
Yes, humanoid, yeah. And yeah, we've had Albert on the show a couple of times.
And sometimes you have to go to track down sources, and sometimes you'll go track down a source, and it will lead you to a very disappointing end, and you have to toss that out. That's just part of the deal. He has done a great job of just compiling all this. So that's a good place to start as you go in there.
Some of the accounts are just, I mean, you're sitting there with your mouth open, scratching your head, going, this person could not have possibly dreamt this up.
Exactly. So anyway, that was Thomas Bullard's Measure of a Mystery, which is just, you know, if you want to look at a nice big codex almost of, you know, where to start with all this data, that's a good place to get.
Wow, I've never read that. I thank you for the hint on that one. Listeners, jot that one down, Thomas Bullard.
I think it's out of, we should talk after the show, Chris, about some ways that you can find that. So back to this idea of communion and this idea of consuming the body and blood of Christ. Yes, it's a hugely important thing. And it's tied into more world traditions than I think even we realize. I mean, if you look at, again, returning to ayahuasca, you have an entity that is God, food, and drink, and you are essentially eating the God, which is a very old established tradition of, you know, it's tied into this idea that if you vanquish your enemies and you eat your enemies, you'll suddenly be, you know, as powerful as your enemies. And it's in a lot of different cultures. The ancient Greeks did it when they ate a raw bull that was supposed to be Dionysus. The Ainu of Japan and Russia used to eat a fatted cub to consume the bear god. And in Indonesia folk, there was actually a girl whose body grew into plants after she died, and those particular plants became the island staples. So this idea of consuming the god is important. And what I found interesting, I don't think he's the most credible source, but John Mack did study him, are some thoughts from Credo Mutua. Credo Mutua, if you don't know, anybody in the audience was a South African shaman, Zulu mother, Christian father. Even John Mack said that, you know, Mutua sort of lives in this weird space where he doesn't differentiate between the real and the subjective. Yeah. But Credo Mutua claimed to have eaten a piece of gray alien that his friend had given him. And he said that...
Yikes.
He said that when he ate it, though, that he felt like he had consumed some sort of drug, and he tasted tastes that hadn't tasted before, and he saw colors that he hadn't seen before, and he felt like he was one with the universe, which is very strikingly like a lot of the experiences that some people experience under certain entheogens. So I think that, not necessarily basing all of my thoughts on Credo Mutua's credibility or not, but I think that this idea of eating the god is very much tied into this whole phenomena. Where I sort of come to with it is, if we are interacting with some sort of non-physical intelligence, which I'm sort of leaning in that direction after looking at what I looked at, then everything that we quote-unquote see is actually a part of one medium. In other words, there is no UFO, there is no jumpsuit on the gray alien, there is no wand in its hand, and there is no drink that it's offering you. They are all one thing. And in that sense, you are consuming part of that medium, or the same philosophical underpinnings are there. You are taking all part of that one medium into yourself, if that makes any sort of sense at all. I try to articulate that a little bit more clearly in the book.
Now, just to get back to the concept of consuming that which you vanquish to acquire their powers, is that where we have the legends of vampirism and stuff like that? Because you're obviously consuming someone's blood as a vampire.
You know, I think that there is something to talk about in there, and I think that there's some more.
You live in a place that sounds almost like Dracula.
Yeah, no, it's Dacula. Dacula, Georgia. Everybody down here goes Dacula. It's actually a portmanteau of the cities of Decatur and Atlanta, but I don't think it quite works. Yeah, it's interesting. That was a line of thought that I had to make a very conscious decision to not pursue, simply because this was my first book and it's a lot of data to get my arms around. I tried to find a way to sort of wrestle it down to the ground in a manageable manner. I personally think that the ideas of vampirism are probably more tied into repressed Victorian sexual desires than anything else. But again, there is this idea of the draining of energy from someone through their blood, which is the same thing that you see in fairy lore. And actually, believe it or not, is paralleled in a lot of quote-unquote alien UFO lore. David Jacobs.
All right. Well, now, of course, we're hitting a sore spot.
Yes. I'm
but you aware. Might as well, because this is the Paracast, and we're not going to censor you.
Well, you know, David Jacobs said a while back that we could now know that the way that entities eat is by absorbing through their skin. And I have a lot of problems with the way that's stated, because I don't think we can now know anything about this. But there is a lot of parallel, quote-unquote, research, parallel anecdotes that seem to corroborate that, this idea that aliens tend to consume through their skin. I don't necessarily think that that is an objective truth, but I do find parallels between that and the way that the fairies would eat their energy, the way that they would eat their foison. Robert Kirk, Chris was another good formative text to work with, The Secret Commonwealth of Elves, Fauns, and Fairies, said that fairies would actually absorb this foison, this energy from other food, through their skin, which, again, is another startling parallel between fairy lore and modern alien lore.
You know, we have to absorb this first. We have so much to consume on the show with Gene and Chris and Joshua, and we'd like you to consume after the Paracast. Just go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Learn more about our premium subscription package, plus.theparacast.com. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order 2 bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Ooh, there's a hidden talent there.
It sounded like the Gollum.
Well, you know, it is. Some people say I have a hidden talent, too, and they'll let me know when they discover what it is.
Gift for gab.
Yeah. Well, you're a good broadcaster, even though some people might.
I know what your hidden talent is, Gene. Your hidden talent is to always be able to bring something back to Supergirl. That's your hidden talent.
Well, I will not say, like Jeb Bush said, that she's hot.
Yeah, or any comic book character.
I like comic book characters. I like The Flash. I like Arrow.
Yeah, see, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Marvel zombie over here, so we probably shouldn't talk about this.
So you're going to watch, was it Jessica Jones, that new superhero show on Netflix?
I haven't had a chance yet. I've been too darn busy. Yeah, I've heard that there is actually, you know, as much as fanboys want to project comics war onto that, I've heard that there's actually some legitimate animosity, especially between some envy of Marvel by Warner Brothers.
Well, mostly because Marvel has had successful movies and Warner Brothers has had trouble making franchises work that well other than Batman and, to some degree, Man of Steel, Superman, so I don't know. We can get into a discussion like that. But then Fantastic Four, the latest Fantastic Four, which is a Marvel comic book character, one of the first, failed. And by the way, I did have one or two conversations early on with Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when I was really young.
That's awesome. That is very awesome. No Jack Kirby meetings?
No Jack Kirby meetings, not at all. That was in the early days when I knew people awesome. Like Forrest J. Ackerman. We're talking about eating alien foodstuffs. How this gets into comics, I have no idea.
It's your superpower.
I could use a superpower. I'd like to be 10 years younger. That would be a superpower. If you were allowed by the superpower gods and they said, Joshua, we got a superpower for you, which one would you take?
Well, you know, the obvious choice is invisibility, but after the past week that I've had, I might take slowing down time as a close second.
Chris, what kind of superpower would you like?
Wow, I never really thought about that. Time travel would be cool.
Yeah, but I worry with time travel about affecting the timelines and all that stuff. Or maybe that's part of it. If you go back through time to deal with the timeline, doesn't that create something that already happened? It's preordained. We're fated to screw up the timeline.
We need to get Micah Hanks in here to help us discuss all the intricacies and paradoxes of time travel.
I'll give him a call.
Micah really loves this this subject.
I'm going to have to give him a call. I'll have to say, look, we are going to explore time travel. In fact, in the episode of Arrow, the Green Arrow this week, they dealt with time travel and changing the future.
Yeah, I've been watching the new Netflix season of Continuum, so I've been kind of in this time travel mode here the last few days.
And he has a thing for Rachel Nichols.
She's pretty hot.
She's not a bad actress, and, you know, I saw it already because it was on Sci-Fi Channel, so I got to see everything. I got to see how it winds up. It's kind of a bittersweet ending. I won't tell you what it was.
Okay.
You know, you watch it. It's a fun show. Fun show. Anyway, I don't know where we're starting this. The superpower I'd like is to spend my age to about what it was 30 years ago and keep it that way. That would be a good superpower.
There you go.
That's a great superpower.
Right. You know, or I could just say Shazam and become the world's mightiest mortal, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I always wondered when Aladdin rubbed the lamp and the genie came out, how come his first wish wasn't for, you know, 10 more wishes?
I don't think that's a wish they can grant.
Yeah, it's in the fine print.
Oh, okay. All right. I knew it was something.
It's in the fine print on the bottom of the lamp.
Oh, we'll have to ask Rosemary that one when she comes on the next time.
Nice.
Well, here we go. We got some other questions that I'd like to fire off at you now that we've kind of gotten our superpowers wrangled. And that would be nice to be able to suspend time or travel through time. Or I guess it's all time related here. I guess we're all time deficient or time conscious. Anyway, this one comes from Wade, who's been a long, long time poster here at the Paracast. He's just passed the 4,000 postmark, which there's not many folks on the forums that have posted over 4,000 times. And he always asks good questions. And he says in Fae folklore, it was said that if you accepted their food or drink, it was said you were doomed to stay there forever. Although I'm not sure that that was the intent, as in the stories I read were pretty much kept against their will until such time that they were no longer needed. And we've already kind of discussed that a little bit, but he wants to know, do you think there is any intent to offerings made to humans in our realm as per the various accounts? To him, it sort of sounds like a cultural imposition that we were put upon them as it was expected at the time, as you don't hear about it much nowadays. We've kind of discussed that a little bit, but you know, I'd like to dig in a little bit deeper with that one. And then when we're done with that, what is your take on the supposed Henry Hudson encounter with the pig-eyed gnomes and the transformation of his men after they consume some sort of drink? And he wonders if you've ever come across other accounts with similar results. Multiple group accounts are pretty rare. First of all, what do you think of this cultural imposition idea that Wade brings up? You know, it's almost like you're kept against your will already. So why the food and drink link to actually keep you there forever or for an indeterminate period of time?
Well, you know, I think that it's really about the power that food has over us. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that I had to and to check myself and be like, is this really something that's worth talking about? But psychologists will say that food is one of the most important things. Bernard Lyman said it was the symbol stimulus for pleasant and unpleasant associations, and it was calling forth a ton of diverse emotions and was one of the primary governing attributes of our own psychology. So with my interest in psychology, I can't help but think that perhaps it's, again, to help draw home a point a little bit better. You know, at the same time, I kind of have to cock my head at the idea that this doesn't happen that much anymore. Because it does. It's not a major motif that you'll find in abduction reports like bright light in my bedroom, feeling of out of body experience, grazer on my bed. But I would say that it is a minor motif, and it's been called out as such in the past. I think that, again, I think it's the act of offering. It's not like you have these situations where people are taken by the other and they're asked if they're hungry. So you'll have people who are taken for 4 hours off of a lonely road and taken into a flying saucer. And during that time, they're given something to eat or drink. They didn't need something to eat or drink for sustenance. There was some sort of deeper purpose there. So it's more along the lines of saying there is a deeper purpose implied by the fact that it wasn't necessary. Ergo, what is that deeper purpose? Was there a deeper purpose? So sort of working backwards from the fact that it does appear and trying to see if there was perhaps some reason for it to appear.
Maybe they're just polite.
Southern hospitality. There you go. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And as I went through the process of writing this book, I still am not convinced as to a lot of the connections that I've made, only just to say that there are connections there. It's still a place that has a lot of mystery for me.
You know, this second part two of his question about Henry Hudson. Now, I faintly remember some story about Henry Hudson, of course, who was the one that discovered New York Harbor, and when he was sailing in, he was an Englishman on a Dutch, Dutchman on an English ship, I think. The story, you know, of how Staten Island got its name is he pointed at the landmass and said, "Is Staten Island?"
Nice.
What is this about Henry Hudson's crew? I don't really recall this. And pig-eyed gnomes.
Yeah, it's definitely a deep cut, that's for sure.
I got another deep cut, which is to move to the next segment. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
A new answer had come from Joshua Cutchin on this episode of the Paracast, and rather than just talk about nothing, let's hear it now.
Yeah, there was apparently in like September 1629, there's some gnomes had appeared and were drinking and some sort of magic liquor. I'm actually not too familiar with the tale myself. I would say that the transformation really implies sort of some of the ideas that I really think about is that this idea of consuming food from the other is meant to have an effect, and it is meant to transform almost a psychological effect upon the one who is consuming it.
The thing I wonder about when you say that is whether they are really and truly actually consuming anything or just imagining they are.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, you look to the amount, the number of cases that don't have trace evidence of food left behind, and it implies that there is something else going on there, and that this is more of a way to gain access to the person's inner self, a Trojan beast, you know, sort of where the idea comes from.
Yeah. I like that.
Branding. Well, I'm not very familiar with the Henry Hudson case, so I apologize for.
What about other Hudson Valley cases? Of course, the Hudson Valley is, in my estimation, one of the more enigmatic hotspot areas on the East Coast. It has a rich tradition of sightings, of encounters with fey folk. Of course, Rip Van Winkle, the Headless Horseman. You know, there's all sorts of interesting stories that go up and down the Hudson and the Catskills and even further up into the Adirondacks. What other types of stories that fall into this this peculiar sort of offering of food and drink comes from that area? I seem to remember, was it Rip Van Winkle? They were playing, they were bowling or something, and then one of them offered him, I think, something to drink.
He
fell asleep for decades and woke up. Why don't you recount that for some of our younger listeners who may not be familiar with the story? And then what other kinds of accounts could you equate from that part of the country?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because you know, Rip Van Winkle has long been sort of a touchstone for the whole missing time phenomena that you run into with all these sort of different encounters. Van Winkle had gone out to the mountains, and he heard his name being called, and he saw some person in this antiquated clothing, which again calls to mind the idea that fairies were the souls of the dead. And this guy was carrying a keg up the mountain, and they actually went to look for these thundering noises, and as it turns out, that a bunch of people who again look much like fairies were actually playing. It was a bowling or nine pins, something the predecessor of bowling. But he doesn't really. Rip Van Winkle doesn't ask who they are, or really, you know, even he doesn't introduce himself, and he drinks some of their moonshine, and that's when he falls asleep. And then he wakes, you know, ages and ages and ages later. His beard is longer, and he is basically a man out of time. It's really interesting to me. You find similar tales in Celtic fairy lore as well. I mean, there was a tale of two fiddlers from Scotland who spent hours and hours at a fairy gathering, and when they came out, they emerged, and they actually crumbled into dust. And a lot of times you'll find people come out of this experience, and they will, in fairy lore, they will actually have their first meal, and then they will crumble into dust. And I find that interesting because you look at some of the experiences that people who have or alleged abductees have had, where their dietary choices have changed. I believe it was the Avis abduction of England, where they actually gave up eating meat and drinking alcohol and other things, which is interesting. You wonder if maybe some of the people in the fairy lore had changed their diets, they wouldn't have crumbled to dust. But it's very interesting. Another component of that too, this idea of a change in diet, is that a lot of the foods that I surveyed, and this is getting back to a point that I failed to address earlier, a lot of the foods in the survey that I found corresponded with the Hindu sattvic diet, which is the diet that was preferred by seers and by mystics. It's not really that unique in terms of being a lacto-vegetarian diet. There are a lot of lacto-vegetarian diets. The important thing with the sattvic diet is that it places emphasis on certain foods. And if you look at the emphasis placed on these foods, it almost lines up directly. Number one, highest emphasis of sattvic foods are juices and milk. And of the liquids that you see described in these cases, it's mostly juices or milk-like drinks. You know, number two, you know, grains. You see a lot of grains in these cases, or things that people describe as grains, at least. So it's really interesting the way that that goes down, the way that you see the people who have been involved in these experiences with the other will also have experiences that are very akin to what sattvic mystics might have, clairvoyance, other psi phenomena.
Okay. I like that. Here's another Raven's Feet question. This one is a toughie. She does ask good questions, I'll tell you. Is there a correlation between food being offered and its availability at the time? Are these reports more common among people or historical eras where food was either hard to come by or the product of a precarious agricultural system that was often prone to failure? Now that in the modern Western countries, at least now, starvation and malnutrition are fairly rare events. Is that why we're seeing a decrease in these types of reports? Good question.
It's a great question, and I would say yes, there's definitely a reflection in the experiences of the culture at the time. I mean, you look at the sort of things that were offered in fairy encounters, the sort of drinks that were offered. They were always ales or wines or punches. Very rarely water, and the reason for that was because in the medieval ages, water was actually less sanitary than these other drinks that were created by fermentation. Similarly, you look at the modern era, now we do have things like pills. I mean, pills are a relatively common thing that are given to abductees. Again, with this idea of recontextualization and different things meaning different things to different people in different times, could a pill of modern day taken back to someone encountering a fairy along the road be interpreted as a wafer or as a cracker or something? I think that there's some degree of
of importance there to that
well,
idea.
Well, terminology and interpretation,
right?
Different things have different names and different terminologies that tend to morph and evolve or devolve over time. So yeah, it's all contextual and it's relative to the time period. It's standard ballet 101. That, yeah. These things tend to morph and conform to the terminology and to the accepted presence of whatever it is during a particular time period.
Yeah, and it's the sort of thing too where I have to wonder. This is mostly a Western world phenomenon from what I can tell, the specific offering and giving and taking of food. And sometimes I wonder, well, is that because of a language barrier, or is there actually, you think about the areas that wouldn't be encompassed in that, like certain sub-Saharan tribes where food is a very hard worked for and very scarce commodity shared amongst the people. You know, I wonder if that doesn't actually have some sort of role to play in these narratives as well.
Yeah. Hey, Haji, would you like a date?
Bad dates.
Eastern cases. When I was doing my trickster book, of course, the trickster kind of plays into this. It interweaves itself through these types of encounters, which often have a very tricksterous element to them. And some of the research that I did from Asia, let's say, from the Far East, there are some very captivating stories from Japan, from China. What other sort of out of the Western milieu and out of the Western context, what other cases are worthy of noting from the Far East, let's say?
Let's hold that answer to our next segment and remind you that we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. You can get that show and the ad-free version of this show when you join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. We offer month-to-month subscriptions for $6 each month. Annual subscriptions, 5-year, a year, a lifetime even. How about that, a lifetime? You'll never stop receiving access to the Paracast Plus. We give free e-books for long-term subscriptions.
Unless you're Rip Van Winkle.
Well, we might make an exception. Plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Gene and Chris, you're in.
It's Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TECHNIGHTOWL for a special discount.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.